Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Nick Agar-Johnson. He is the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we preview the 2023 NBA playoff second-round matchups. Nick is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
This podcast is sponsored by Eucora.
UTIs are the worst. One year, I had 8 UTIs,
and I hated taking antibiotics so often.
If you get UTIs, you understand how awful the cycle is. I was taking all the precautions, and cranberry products just didn't work. It was hard on me and my husband.
I hated seeing her in pain, and I wanted to help.
We're Jenna and Spencer, founders of Eucora. We make UTI relief products and innovative urinary tract supplements that give you a way to be proactive. At Eucora, we've helped over 400,000 people get their lives back.
Eucora's UTI Emergency Kit helps you test for a UTI and manage your symptoms until you can see a doctor. Plus, their proactive care supplements support your urinary health from every angle. Get 30% off your first Eucora order when you text PROACTIVE to 64,000. Text PROACTIVE to 64,000 to get 30% off. That's PROACTIVE to 64,000.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Eucora. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at Eucora.com. Reply STOP to STOP HELP for help. By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Babbel. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at Babbel.com/TNC.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
It's incredible. After using Babbel, I'm ready to start having real conversations in French.
There's all kinds of ways to learn. Use Babbel's podcasts or games or videos. You can even join live classes with a language teacher.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
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 Babbel. Évidemment.
Text radio to 64,000 to try Babbel for free. That's radio to 64,000 to try Babbel free. RADIO to 64,000.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
One box combo, please.
That's 4 juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today. Barney. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
One box combo, please.
That's 4 juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. So the 2023 NBA playoffs have gotten off to a red hot start. And the first round has completed. And now we're going to preview the second round of the 2023 NBA playoffs. And to do so, we have him back on the program. He's the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast. He's also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Let's welcome him back to the program, Nick Agar-Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back, my man.
Ed, thanks so much for having me back. It has been a wild start to the 2023 NBA playoffs, and unfortunately, I was speaking to you after the end of the Sacramento Kings playoff run, so a bit down about that, but always happy to come back on the program and talk basketball with you.
Likewise, and again, thank you so much, as always, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Let's start off in the Western Conference, and before we go into Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers, I want to talk briefly about the Sacramento Kings. What a great season that they had. I mean, 17 years was a long time, but it was definitely worth the wait. Unfortunately, they did not have the opportunity to beat the Golden State Warriors in the thrilling seven-game series. Just give me your thoughts, or what words could you summarize the 2022-2023 Sacramento Kings season?
The 2022-2023 Sacramento Kings season was the most fun that I have had cheering for the Sacramento Kings, which, you know, on the one hand isn't a particularly high bar given how the last 17 years have gone, as we've mentioned, but this year was just a celebration from start to finish. And, you know, granted, the series ending the way it did with the second half of Game 7 was not exactly what any Kings fan would have wanted, but, I mean, this was a team that was just exciting to watch day in, day out, all season. You know, they were a team that managed to win home court advantage, you know, not just squeak into the bottom portion of the playoffs, but end up as the third seed after the incredible season they had. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they went out to their NorCal rivals in the Warriors, but ultimately it was a hard-fought seven-game series against the defending champions, and the Kings fell just short, but this is a great learning experience for the Kings players, you know, many of whom haven't been in the playoffs before, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk among those who'd never played in the playoffs, and of course the rookie Keegan Murray as well. So it'll be great to see how the Kings sort of turn next, how the Kings are next season, you know, after sort of breaking that playoff drought, and it'll be great to see how much of a learning experience it was for them. Hopefully next year they come back stronger than ever.
I want to stay just with Sacramento for a moment. Didn't get an opportunity to watch the Kings play this season. Definitely a worldwide audience paid attention to the Sacramento Kings. Particularly, they paid attention to Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, also Harrison Barnes, but just a host of other players with the likes of Malik Monk, also Davion Mitchell, just to name a few. But the world got a chance to experience the great talent of De'Aaron Fox. Give me your thoughts on De'Aaron and his 2022-2023 season.
I mean, however the rest of De'Aaron Fox's career goes, you know, he, in a way, he will always have this season. And I don't mean that to say that I think he's anywhere close to done with showing the world what he can do on a basketball court. But really, this was a breakout season for him in every way. And, you know, he ended up winning the first Clutch Player of the Year award given out in the NBA, which was well-deserved given how spectacular he was for the Kings in the fourth quarter all season. And, you know, Draymond Green was interviewed after the game basically saying how his respect for De'Aaron Fox had grown after the series and how De'Aaron showed just how much of a playoff competitor he is. You know, he's someone who performed at the highest levels all year long in, you know, tight situations and clutch moments in the fourth quarter, and he carried that over to an absolutely incredible playoff run for the Kings. You know, he struggled in the last couple of games after he had a broken finger on his shooting hand, you know, which hampered him sort of down the stretch run of that series, but he really gutted it out all season long and all series long, and he showed what he can do in the playoffs, and it'll be awesome to see hopefully what he can do again in the playoffs next season and going forward. But this year was a showcase season for him. He may very well end up on an all-NBA team as well. But even if he doesn't, just a spectacular season from De'Aaron Fox.
Indeed, the future is definitely bright for De'Aaron Fox. And as we mentioned earlier, for those that had not had an opportunity to watch the Sacramento Kings play this year, definitely you were in for a treat during the playoff run, as the gentleman that we mentioned, along with De'Aaron Fox, they really dazzled us all season long. I want to stay with Sacramento just for a moment. So after that great season that they had, what was the fan response like, Nick, for the whole playoff run for Sacramento? Because, again, you mentioned about not just it being an in-state rivalry in the state of California, but just specifically Northern California. What were the Kings fans like, not just during this playoff run, but just throughout this magical run?
So I was fortunate enough to attend game one of Kings Warriors at Golden One Center later in the day after the previous time that you invited me onto the show. And it was truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I showed up, you know, not sure what the sort of mix would be between Kings fans and Warriors fans, and it was 90-95% Kings fans outside the arena, maybe even more. The city of Sacramento just showed up in force for that first game of the series, and, you know, it's one of the experiences that I'll remember for the rest of my life. I've honestly never been in a louder building than Golden One Center was for game one of the playoff series. I ran into a couple of friends from college just randomly at the game, just reveling in the atmosphere, taking it all in. It was a celebration of the Sacramento Kings and of the city of Sacramento. You know, it has been less than a decade since the Kings were almost potentially moved to Seattle. And instead, you know, the city of Sacramento kept the Kings, and Kings fans showed up in force for the first playoff game in Sacramento. It was, again, truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience, something that I feel very, very fortunate to have gotten to witness. And this was a Kings team that, you know, readily deserved all the love and excitement that they got all season long. They were spectacularly fun to watch. And even if they fell short of, you know, the second round of the playoffs, they had a really well-fought series against the defending champions. And, you know, as Draymond said with his respect for De'Aaron Fox, you know, I think anybody in the league who hadn't watched the Sacramento Kings up to this point will hopefully respect what the team is building and what they will hopefully be continuing to build in the years to come.
Man, it was an exciting atmosphere just watching those games. And as we stated earlier, 17 years was a long time, but it was definitely worth the wait. And certainly, hopefully, this would be the start of something special in that franchise for the Sacramento Kings. Of course, Sacramento being one of those great NBA cities, and certainly they can continue that momentum moving forward in the franchise's history. And some people may say the Sacramento Kings season was a success, and some people may say it was a failure. Recently, Giannis Antetokounmpo, one of the best players in the history of the NBA and still continuing to put his name out there, was asked a question if he felt that the Bucks season was a failure. Some people have shared Giannis's thoughts on this. Some people have been kind of split on this. Giannis basically said there are no failures in sports. There's only steps to success. Give me your thoughts on Giannis and the sentiment that he shared in terms of failure.
There is a lot, and, you know, granted I'm biased on this front after the Kings lost and fell out of the playoffs, but ultimately I think there's a lot of truth to what Giannis said in that, you know, it's really unfortunate if we have a situation in the league where 29 teams are failures and, you know, all the players on 29 teams are failures and only one team gets to say that they had a successful season every year. You know, for the Kings, I mean, for having not made the playoffs for 17 years and then finally making it, you know, is it unfortunate that they lost in round one as a higher seed? Yes, of course it is, but there's no way that I could say that this was an unsuccessful season for the Kings. And, you know, the part where I waver slightly is just that, you know, this Bucks team was capable of more than they did out there, as I think is clear to say, given that they lost to the Heat. But, you know, ultimately, even though they were a one seed that lost to an eight seed, they were a dominant team during the regular season. You know, they had another spectacular regular season. And, you know, ultimately, they lost to a red-hot Miami Heat team. You know, some of that goes on the Bucks defense, but some of that is also just Miami being hotter from three-point range than they've been at any point during the regular season at all. And, you know, you can't deem the entire season a failure, in my mind, just because they, you know, had a few bad games in the playoffs. Like, yes, this is a team that was expected to contend for a title, and they fell out of contention way earlier than we could have expected. But I think Giannis is right to suggest that there is more to a season than, you know, just the playoff portion at the end of it. And it can't be a situation where we say that every single team was a failure other than the team that won the title. You know, that just leads to us overlooking a lot of wonderful basketball and a lot of great things that teams have done, even if they don't quite make it all the way to the title.
Wow, very interesting the way you put it right there. And certainly Giannis really had given us all, I guess, a master class on how to address the importance of failure. And like he said, there's no failure, there's only steps to success, not just in the game of basketball or in sports, but most importantly, in the game of life. And let's move along now to the second round of the 2023 NBA playoffs, and let's preview this. And the Golden State Warriors, the defending champions, going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. For the Lakers, we know what they did to the Memphis Grizzlies. Let's just say Dylan Brooks, he poked a bear called LeBron James. Not good advice at all, Mr. Brooks. And LeBron, let's just say LeBron did him in. Anthony Davis alongside Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, also Dennis Schroeder, just to name a few. The Lakers handling their business, beating the Memphis Grizzlies. As for the Golden State Warriors, they came in and beat the Sacramento Kings in a tough seven-game series. The defending champs showing their championship experience. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Kevon Looney, Andrew Wiggins, just to name a few. But, Nick, if there's a theme for this series, I call it Merlot and Chardonnay, because that's how I describe Steph Curry and LeBron James, like a fine wine just getting better with time. And it's special because it's an in-state rivalry, Northern California versus Southern California, the Bay Area versus L.A. Give me a take on Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Starting on the Golden State side of things, they just emerged from the only seven-game series in the first round of the playoffs, an incredibly hard-fought battle. But ultimately, there were two things that really stood out to me above all else with this Warriors squad. First of all, Steph Curry had the first 50-point game in a Game 7 closeout situation, and you know he did it on the road. And there were times in that series where a lot of the guys around Steph were really struggling, and he just put that team on his back. And, you know, again, 50 points in a Game 7 elimination really says it all for Steph Curry, continuing to have absolutely magical moments in the playoffs. It's, you know, no surprise at this point, but it's still shocking to see just what Steph can do when he's absolutely locked in. And then the other player that really stood out for me in Golden State in round one was Kevon Looney. I mean, Domantas Sabonis led the NBA in rebounds per game during the regular season this past year, and Kevon Looney had three games in that series with 20 or more boards. He was just an absolute force of nature out there, and the Kings really couldn't find any way to deal with him. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what a more athletic center slash big man and Anthony Davis can do against Kevon Looney as opposed to Domantas Sabonis, you know, who had a spectacular season but really got beat up by Kevon Looney literally and figuratively throughout that series. So, you know, we can expect Draymond to be the captain of the defense and keep the ball moving on the offensive end. We can expect Klay Thompson to have a few heaters where he just absolutely is raining fire from three-point range, even though he struggled a lot in the Sacramento series. But ultimately, the two guys who stood out to me the most for the Warriors were Steph Curry and Kevon Looney. On the Lakers side, it is just a completely different team over there than what they had before the trade deadline. And, you know, before the trade deadline, they were looking like they might not even make the play-in in the Western Conference. After the trade deadline, obviously, they, you know, ended up making their way to the seventh seed. And in that first-round series against Memphis, I mean, LeBron was spectacular, as he always is, but Anthony Davis just had a monster series for them against the Grizzlies. And ultimately, when that duo is healthy, I mean, we've seen LeBron and Anthony Davis take the Lakers to the title, you know, just a few short years ago. And this is a completely different team than that title-winning team, you know, as in part is evidenced by the fact that they just completely revamped this team at the trade deadline. But this will be a fascinating series to watch. I mean, these are two teams who really struggled at times during the regular season, but ultimately have the title experience and, you know, roster to potentially go all the way if they're clicking and everything goes right. And it'll be really interesting to see. This is definitely much more than you would usually see from a 6-7 series.
Yeah, indeed, this is going to be very interesting right here. We have two lower seeds in this next round, which just makes it a lot of fun and makes it interesting. I want to stay with Steph Curry and LeBron James. These two, as I mentioned earlier, they're like fine wines. They're just getting better with time. We don't know how many more seasons we're going to see these two gentlemen at the peak of their powers play against each other, especially at a high level and at a high stage in the NBA playoffs. In your opinion, Nick, can you give me the significance of what the Steph and LeBron rivalry is all about?
I mean, the Steph and LeBron rivalry defined the, you know, second half of the 2010s. I mean, you know, from the Warriors' first title in 2015 to their 73-win season and dropping the title to LeBron and the Cavaliers in 2016 to the two straight KD Warriors championships, you know, the Warriors and LeBron James really defined that latter half of the 2010s. And, you know, with LeBron, I mean, it's hard to say when he's going to fall off from his prime because people have been saying for years, right? You know, oh, he's 32 now. He can't keep this going much longer, right? Oh, he's 35 now. He can't keep this going much longer, right? And here we are in year 20. LeBron has broken the all-time scoring record, and he's still playing at an all-NBA level. So, you know, I think it's, you know, reasonable to think that LeBron might end up retiring before Steph does, given that LeBron has 4 years on Steph. But, I mean, with Steph, you know, he's just gotten so much better on the defensive end over time, you know, which is not usually something that you see with players sort of exiting the athletic portion of their prime. You know, Steph has really improved on the defensive end, and, of course, he's still one of the most electric scorers we have in the game. You know, LeBron might have broken the all-time scoring record, but Steph Curry broke the all-time NBA three-point record even earlier in his career than LeBron broke the scoring record in his career. These are two all-time, you know, top-tier first ballot Hall of Fame players and MVPs, and it'll be really fascinating to see, you know, they, again, I don't want to ever count out LeBron James at this point after how long he's managed to sustain his absolutely top-tier level of play, but there is a decent chance that this could be the last series between these two, and so it'll carry even more significance with, you know, the records that they now hold, but also the stage at which they are in their careers and still performing at all-NBA, you know, fringe MVP level.
They always say you never take anything for granted, and certainly I've never taken this Steph Curry and LeBron James rivalry for granted. And it's, we have to hold on to it while we have it, and certainly these two are still masters at work, and it should be a fantastic series between Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers. I want to stay again with just this series for a moment. I mentioned earlier about it being Northern California versus Southern California, the Bay Area versus Los Angeles. Can you explain to the listeners, Nick, just about the geographical differences, not just between Northern California and Southern California, but the Bay Area and Los Angeles?
Yeah, so I admittedly was not born and raised in California, but I have lived in California for the last half decade now, and my parents and my youngest brother have lived in Los Angeles for the last half decade. So I guess I, you know, I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means, but I do have some idea on the differences. And, you know, Southern California is where, you know, Los Angeles in particular sort of has a reputation as, you know, 70 degrees, 80 degrees and sunshine all year long. Whereas, you know, Northern California and the Bay Area in particular, you know, it's a little bit colder, you know, 60 degrees most of the year. San Francisco, of course, is famous for its fog, and, you know, that's where the Warriors do play now after having moved from Oakland, where they and I lived for a period of time. It's, you know, the rivalry is very interesting in the sense that, you know, both Northern California teams have had long and bitter histories with the Lakers as playoff rivals. You know, the Lakers, of course, one of the marquee teams in terms of titles in NBA history, you know, second most titles of any NBA team. With the Warriors, you know, they started piling up championships recently. You know, they have a couple championships from the 1970s, if I'm remembering correctly, and the Kings have zero titles within their time in Northern California. So, you know, it's a rivalry that had favored Southern California and the Lakers for a long, long, long time, but the Warriors have had much more of a dynastic run recently, so it'll be interesting to see in that sense whether the, you know, Southern California dominance continues in this series or if the recent run of Northern California success and the Warriors driving the vast majority of that success can triumph in this in-state series.
All right, fair enough. And as we've stated earlier, this should be in an intriguing series with Steph Curry, LeBron James, and the rest of the crew, with the Golden State Warriors going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's move along now to the next round matchup in the Western Conference. We have the Denver Nuggets going up against the Phoenix Suns. The Denver Nuggets handled their business beating the Minnesota Timberwolves in a 5-game series, winning that series 4-1. And then we had the Phoenix Suns beating the Los Angeles Clippers in a five-game series. Phoenix would win that series 4-1. So the stage is set now for Denver and Phoenix. We've got Kevin Durant. We've got Chris Paul. We've got Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton and company going against the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray has had a red-hot playoffs thus far. Also Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon. We talk about Steph Curry and LeBron James being a fine wine. Well, also Jeff Green is aging gracefully as well. He's been sharp in this series as well. And, of course, the reigning two-time league MVP, Mr. Nikola Jokic. Give me your thoughts on the Denver and Phoenix series.
So, as you mentioned, Jamal Murray having been red-hot all playoffs. Nikola Jokic, spectacular. Ultimately, the Phoenix Suns are a team that has a ton of talent, but, you know, this current iteration of the team is much newer than, you know, this Nuggets squad where Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic have been figuring out how to play together for years now. And so it'll be interesting to see sort of how much the experience that the Denver Nuggets have playing together will come into play versus, you know, the years upon years of playoff experience that you're talking about with Kevin Durant and Chris Paul and, you know, Devin Booker, maybe not as much as those two, but having made a finals recently with the Phoenix Suns team, you know, that's a team that made the finals, of course, without Kevin Durant on the squad. So it'll be really interesting.
I want to stay just with this series for a moment. Phoenix and Denver, we know about Nikola Jokic and certainly him being an MVP candidate. Experts have said that Kevin Durant is the most expensive decoy in the NBA. We know Chris Paul and Devin Booker are going to have theirs, but how significantly important will Kevin Durant be in this series against Denver?
I mean, you know, ultimately the way I timed, we talked about this before round one, I picked the Suns as the team that I thought was the most likely to win the title. And, you know, I think this is the most open race for a title we've had in years in the NBA. You know, the Warriors aren't quite on the same level of dominance as they have been, and you know, the Bucks really were sort of seen, in my mind, as a team to beat in the East, and they lost in round one. With Phoenix, ultimately, you know, this is a team that just made the finals, but they didn't have Kevin Durant for that run. And I think it's less about him being the most expensive decoy than that he's the most expensive X-factor, which is sort of what he was for the Warriors' two title runs, in the sense that, you know, that was a team that had won a championship before he arrived, but once he arrived, it was just, man, this team has way too many weapons to be able to stop them consistently. You know, if you're playing the kind of defense you need to on Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, then you're by definition leaving Kevin Durant more open than you should. And with Phoenix, it's sort of similar in that, you know, if you're paying that kind of attention to Kevin Durant and Devin Booker defensively, you're letting Chris Paul cook. You know, if you're deciding to focus your defense on Kevin Durant and Chris Paul, then you're leaving Devin Booker open to destroy you. And pretty much no team, I think, is going to leave Kevin Durant as the guy that they let run relatively unchecked, as opposed to Chris Paul and Devin Booker, especially with the Nuggets. And Michael Porter Jr. is better on defense than he was his first year in the league, but he is nowhere near equipped to deal with Kevin Durant. And Aaron Gordon can check him at times, but even so, I think that it's a losing strategy for the Nuggets to try and, you know, key in on the other two guys and leave Kevin Durant alone. So I suppose in the sense of defensive attention he draws, he can be the most defensive decoy of all time, but I think of him more as, you know, that potential just one-too-many kind of weapon on a squad, as he was for Golden State Warriors and as he could be for the Phoenix Suns.
This indeed should be an interesting series with Denver and Phoenix. One last question about this series. Denver has a high altitude, for all intents and purposes, 5,280 feet above sea level. Do you think Phoenix will be impacted by the altitude of Denver, or do you think it will be just be a normal day at the office for them?
It's interesting because, you know, Denver has been a team that for decades now has been consistently much better at home than they are on the road. And that's true for nearly all NBA teams, but the difference between how much better Denver has been at home versus on the road as compared to other NBA teams is pretty large. I mean, you know, that altitude contributes to a really pretty sizable home court advantage for the Denver Nuggets, but that's something that's really been shown during the regular season. Now, the sample size of Nuggets games in the playoffs is certainly smaller than the, you know, 82 games every year that we get in the regular season, but So, again, this is a team that has consistently been much better at home than they've been on the road. And certainly, you know, altitude does play somewhat of a factor, but it's been the kind of thing where I think is more of an impact during the regular season where, you know, it's, you know, fourth game in five nights or just regular back-to-back and you're in Denver and you're just trying to get used to the altitude and you can't quite do it. I think, you know, that's a sort of a different ball game for the Nuggets as a home court advantage thing as opposed to the playoffs with, you know, a day of rest and acclimation in between each game. I think that advantage would be smaller than it has shown to be during the regular season. And, you know, this isn't a Nuggets team that, you know, every single time Denver enters the playoffs, watch out because they're going to win every single home game. You know, it's like they have fallen out of the playoffs every single time before things. This is a team that hasn't won a title in quite a while, if they ever have. I'm not 100% sure on that one. You know, the advantage isn't that sizable, but it is something that they have shown to have an advantage with during the regular season.
All right, and that's the Denver Nuggets going up against the Phoenix Suns in the second round of the NBA playoffs 2023. Let's move over now to the Eastern Conference now. The Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks, man. This is the 90s all over again with this rivalry. The Miami Heat took care of the Milwaukee Bucks, upsetting Milwaukee in a five-game series, Miami winning it 4-1. As for the New York Knicks, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in a five-game series, Knicks winning the series 4-1. So we've got the Miami Heat going up against the New York Knicks. Miami on a roll right now with Max Strus, Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo doing what Bam does best. Of course, Jimmy Butler, what a postseason he's had so far, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets, going through a brick wall to score points. As for the New York Knicks, the resurging New York Knicks with R.J. Barrett, also Emmanuel Quickley, Mitchell Robinson, Josh Hart, and, of course, Jalen Brunson, who was the steal of the free agency period this past offseason. Give me your thoughts on Miami Heat and the New York Knicks, the rivalry renewed.
Are two teams that made it to this stage in a really fascinating way. You know, starting with the Heat, I mean, one of the all-time upsets, honestly, it's very rare to see an 8 seed, you know, take out a 1 seed in the playoffs. It's even more rare for them to do it in such dominant fashion. I mean, you know, the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler taking round one against the Bucks in five games was just an incredible surprise, something I never would have seen coming. And yet, you know, a lot of it was that this Heat team was absolutely sparkling from three-point range. I think it was something like 48% for Miami in the first round of the playoffs from distance. You know, that's well above, obviously, their regular season mark. That's the kind of hot streak that you rarely see, especially, you know, in a playoff setting rather than just over a few games in the regular season. And, you know, this is a Heat team that, you know, made the finals with Jimmy Butler at the helm not that long ago. And it'll be fascinating to see just how far they can take the run this year. You know, even if they cool off a little bit from three-point range, maybe they can just continue to control the game on the defensive end. Difficult to count Jimmy Butler out at any point in time. And after that round one masterclass against the Bucks, it'll be even harder than ever to discount what Jimmy Butler can do in a playoff setting. And, you know, on the other side for the Knicks, you know, I mentioned how the Lakers sort of transformed their season at the trade deadline, and the Knicks really transformed their roster by adding Josh Hart to their team at the trade deadline. He's a piece that has fit perfectly onto this Knicks roster since the day they got him in, and he really was a huge factor for them in that first round series against Cleveland. You know, I thought that would be a close, well-fought series between the Knicks and the Cavs. And, you know, the first game was a really electric battle between those two. And, you know, Cleveland took game two. It looked like it would be a hard-fought series. And instead, the Knicks just wore the Cavaliers down with spectacular defense from that point forward. So, you know, it'll be fascinating to see what they can do against this red-hot Heat team in the rest of the series. But, you know, Miami took down the Goliath of the Bucks in round one in five games. It's hard for me to say, you know, that they're not going to continue on this absolutely spectacular tear they've been on, you know, continue that against the Knicks in round two.
I want to stay just with Miami and New York for a moment. We talked earlier about the Sacramento Kings, specifically the Golden One Center where they play in downtown Sacramento. Well, we know it's never a dull moment in New York. The bright lights, the big city, Broadway, and we've seen fans outside of Madison Square Garden, it's been coined as the world's most famous arena. Give me your thoughts on Knicks fans and how they've been showing up specifically during this playoff run so far for the Knicks and just packing out Madison Square Garden.
As I mentioned in the NorCal versus SoCal rivalry, you know, discussion that we had earlier, I have lived in California for the last half decade, but I was born and raised in New York City, so I know just how integral the New York Knicks are to the fandom culture of New York. And, you know, New York has been called the mecca of basketball for a long time, and for good reason. I mean, just the list is endless of exceptional basketball players who have come from, you know, New York courts. And Madison Square Garden is, you know, a huge part of why New York is seen as such a center for basketball. It's the most iconic arena in the sport. And when Knicks fans are, you know, feeling the team and feeling the energy and riding for their Knicks in Madison Square Garden, it's one of the most electric environments in the world. And this, you know, New York Knicks team has gotten the city to show up. And, you know, that's something that this city always does for the Knicks. But this year and this playoff run in particular has just been really a revival of the Knicks fandom who, you know, the Knicks haven't quite struggled as much as the Kings have over the last 20 years or so, but there have not been as many bright, shining moments for the New York Knicks in the last 20 years as there have been for many other franchises. And this team and this playoff run has proven to be a special team for the city, and the city is showing up for the team in kind.
I want to stay again with the Heat and the Knicks for a moment. The Heat and the Knicks, this rivalry, as I stated earlier, is a rivalry renewed going back to the 90s. We've seen rivalries shape the NBA with the likes of Boston and the LA Lakers. We've seen it with Boston and Philadelphia. As recent as you could say maybe Golden State, Cleveland, or Warriors, Lakers, particularly with Steph and LeBron. Also Lakers, Pistons, and Knicks, Lakers, just to name a few. But those that are just getting to know about the Heat-Knicks rivalry, what are some of the things that you tell them about this rivalry?
Oh, man, this is a rivalry that has been around as one of the iconic NBA rivalries for decades now. And, you know, this is just a revival of a rivalry that really sort of had its peak in the 1980s and 1990s. You know, the Knicks and the Heat were two of the best teams in the Eastern Conference for both of those decades, really. And, you know, that was an era when the Knicks, you know, and the Heat both had this reputation as really rugged defensive teams. But, you know, the Pat Riley Knicks in particular were just known for being, you know, on the verge of legal in terms of, you know, their kind of fouling and their mind games and their tactics on the defensive end. And, you know, it's interesting to see the Knicks of this season, you know, turn the screws on the Cavaliers teams, who were also, you know, there were some great Cavaliers teams in the 80s and 90s as well. But, you know, the Knicks holding the Cavaliers to 79 points in this 2023 NBA environment is really reminiscent of Knicks teams of the past. And Tom Thibodeau, of course, is a perfect fit in the history of Knicks culture of teams that just wore you down on the defensive end, you know, Pat Ewing, John Starks, Knicks, you know, the 80s and 90s, and, you know, the Heat of the same era with Alonzo Mourning. Those were just teams that were absolute menaces on the defensive end and were not afraid of a questionably dirty foul or two in their time, certainly on either end. So it's nice to see that rivalry come back in this way, you know, as it was in the 80s and 90s, where it was really a cornerstone of Eastern Conference basketball.
Indeed, definitely. This is going to be one for the ages. I really believe that between the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. And let's continue with another rivalry. We have our Eastern Conference second round matchup, our other matchup between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. The 76ers had their way with the Brooklyn Nets, sweeping them in four games, winning the series 4-0, while the Boston Celtics, they beat the Atlanta Hawks in 6 games, winning the series 4-2. So we got Philly and we've got Boston. For the 76ers, James Harden was in and out in the series against Brooklyn. We've seen Tobias Harris. He had a nice series against Brooklyn. Joel Embiid injured. We don't know the status going forward in this series against Boston. But one person that really shined bright for the 76ers, Tyrese Maxey, he really stepped up his game in the series against Brooklyn. We know the usual suspects, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Robert Williams, Grant Williams, and, of course, Mr. Jason Tatum. I mean, what more could you ask for? And, of course, Marcus Smart bringing the heat on the defensive side. Give me your thoughts on Philly and Boston.
I think that this series will be heavily determined by the health of Joel Embiid. And if he's out for an extended portion of the series or even the entire series, this looks like a completely different ballgame for the Philadelphia 76ers. I mean, James Harden, you know, he didn't quite make the All-Star game, but he had very good arguments for it this season and has had another, you know, exceptional year, 21-10 during the regular season. And he's had his ups and downs during the playoffs, certainly, but, you know, he's someone who can be an excellent sort of second option offensively and has proven to be that for the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey has had a real breakout year, you know, became a 20-point scorer and has had a really great playoff, particularly, you know, in that sweep of the Nets, he was really something special. But ultimately for the Philadelphia 76ers, I mean, Joel Embiid is a real, you know, I mean, he's a mismatch against any team, of course, but it'll be even more important than usual for him against this Boston Celtics squad. You know, Al Horford is to be reckoned with down low, even this late in his NBA career, but ultimately the advantage that the Sixers were going to have was going to be with Joel Embiid down low, especially with the strength that the Celtics can provide on the wing and, you know, at guard with Marcus Smart locking things down, Jaylen Brown at the off guard, and, you know, Malcolm Brogdon as one of the 6 Men of the Year contenders for the Boston Celtics squad. You know, a lot of this series will really just hinge on how healthy Joel Embiid is, because when he is healthy, he's, you know, he might end up winning MVP this year. That's the kind of season we saw from Joel Embiid, and it'll be really nice to hopefully have him healthy sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The health of Joel is going to be key in this series. And how could I forget about Malcolm Brogdon, the 6 Man of the Year award winner? What a season he had this year. And I want to stay with this Philly and Boston series for a moment. Defense and rebounding is going to be key in this series. Robert Williams for Boston and PJ Tucker for the 76ers. How are these two going to be significant in this series?
So, I mean, PJ Tucker, you know, he's someone who has made a career out of being someone who, you know, really just shoots three-pointers from the corner on offense, but, you know, makes the sort of bread and butter of his, you know, NBA work on the defensive end. You know, he's someone who has gone from, you know, falling out of the NBA pretty quickly and going overseas to being someone who's been a starter on a number of playoff teams. And, you know, he was on a Houston Rockets squad that, if not for injury to Chris Paul, you know, could have potentially gone all the way to an NBA title. And, you know, even still this late in his career, you know, 37 years old, he's still providing an incredible force for the Philadelphia 76ers squad on the defensive end. You know, he might not contribute that much to the offense, but in terms of, you know, sort of being the glue that holds the Sixers defense together, he will be critical as always, and even more critical than usual if Joel Embiid ends up missing significant time. So he is going to be significant in this series. And, you know, I keep saying this, I'm repeating it like a broken record, but it really will be the key to the series in whether or not Joel Embiid is healthy. Because if he is healthy, you know, Robert Williams and Al Horford will be tasked with bulk of the playing time against Joel Embiid. And Robert Williams is, you know, a defensive force, but in a different way than, you know, Al Horford. Robert Williams is an absolute shot-blocking menace, and, you know, he's one of the most athletic big men we have in the game. So, you know, he's someone who can give Joel Embiid problems running the floor on offense, and then on the defensive end, just absolutely locking down the paint, you know, allowing Al Horford to do his things as an off-ball defender, but also, you know, Williams potentially being a weak side shot-blocking threat when Al Horford is in the center of the paint. You know, Robert Williams has struggled with his health, you know, throughout his career, but particularly this season, played less than half the Celtics regular season games. So him being back and healthy in this series will be huge for the Celtics. And if Joel Embiid is out, I expect him to run rampant. And if Joel Embiid is in, I expect Robert Williams to be a huge part of the defensive discussion surrounding holding Joel Embiid as much in check as the Celtics can hope to hold him in check during this series.
All right, and we mentioned earlier about the rivalries with Miami and New York. Philadelphia and Boston, this is a rivalry that has continued, and we've seen the names throughout the course of this rivalry with Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, the Jay, Paul Pierce, Allen Iverson, and also you could add Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, the list goes on and on. Describe three and the intensity of this rivalry between 76ers and the Celtics.
Oh, man. I mean, when you start off with Will Chamberlain and Bill Russell, you're almost by definition one of the iconic rivalries in the NBA. And, you know, these are two cities with entrenched basketball cultures, you know, teams in Philadelphia with the Warriors and the 76ers who have been iconic parts of the basketball landscape for many, many, many decades, you know, from the Will Chamberlain, Bill Russell era all the way through to Larry Bird versus Dr. J, you know, in that era, you know, 70s and 80s, you know, all the way up to now, where for the last half decade or so, these have been two of the more dominant teams in the Eastern Conference. You know, they have shaped a lot of the basketball landscape throughout the history of basketball. And, you know, the Celtics have won more championships than any other team, right? So, you know, this is a storied rivalry between two teams that have been going at it for longer than almost any other rivalry in the history of the NBA. And it'll be spectacular to see yet another chapter added to that historic rivalry.
All right, definitely Philly and Boston. The rivalry continues between these two great franchises. All right, Nick, it's time for your picks now. The second round of the NBA playoffs. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. The Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks. Who wins and how many games and why?
Man, this is really difficult because I really don't want to bet against Jimmy Butler in any context. On the other hand, I think that the Knicks just have more to deal with than the Heat do in this series, you know, with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle leading the way for the Knicks, with Josh Hart having the season he's had since being traded there, with Emmanuel Quickley off the bench. You know, this is a team that held the Cleveland Cavaliers to 79 points in a game in the previous series. And, you know, Eric Spoelstra is a spectacular coach. So is Tom Thibodeau. There's a lot here. I think that this is likely to be, you know, it might not be as fun as Lakers-Warriors, but I think that this will be a closer series. I'm ultimately going to go Knicks in seven, but I feel like Jimmy Butler could make me pay for that pick very quickly, especially given that Miami's already won game one. But I think that the Knicks just have a more complete roster and a more complete team, and they, I think, will have what it takes to emerge in what will be a real battle in this Eastern Conference series.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun between the Heat and the Knicks. And as we stated earlier, it's a rivalry renewed, and it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, the other Eastern Conference matchup, the Philadelphia 76ers against the Boston Celtics. Who wins and how many games and why?
I'm going to say Boston wins the series 4-2, so Boston in six for this one. I think the fact that Joel Embiid's health is a question, I think that he is such a huge pivot for this series that I'm going to take the Celtics to win this one. You know, I think the Sixers, they have the pieces to take at least one game, maybe two games in the series. And if Joel Embiid plays, he could be, you know, I mean, he will be a real difference maker if he plays, and he could be enough to take the Sixers past the Celtics in this one. But given that his health is uncertain heading into the series, I think Boston is just the safer pick. So I'm going to go with Celtics in six for this series.
All right, solid. Let's move over now to the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets going up against the Phoenix Suns. Who wins and how many games and why?
So this is similar to the Knicks Heat series in basically only one way, but is, you know, in true in this one way. You know, I said before the first round preview that I think the Suns have the best title chance of any team this season, and so I'm going to pick them here. I'm also going to say Suns in seven. I think that this Nuggets team has, you know, been underrated for a lot of this season because they're a team that hasn't gone, you know, as far as some people would have liked in the playoffs in recent years, even though Nikola Jokic has been back-to-back MVP and also, you know, has consistently upped his level of play during the playoffs. Ultimately, this Phoenix Suns team just has too many weapons up top with that three-headed monster of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul. I think that they will have just barely enough to squeak by the Nugget squad, but I think that the Suns will ultimately take this series in seven, and I think it will be, you know, a lot less of a rock fight, certainly, than the Knicks Heat series. I think it's going to be a lot of high-scoring games, but I'm going to go with the Suns taking the series by tight margin, Suns in seven.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun series, and I'm with you, Nick. This is going to be a lot of high scoring. Expect over 120 points in at least most of the games in this series. And now, last but certainly not least, we've got the Golden State Warriors versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Who wins and how many games and why?
I think the Golden State Warriors take this series in six. I think the Kings gave them enough of a fight to, you know, sort of put the scare in this Warriors squad. And, I mean, they are the defending champs for a reason, you know. As obvious as that is to say, they are the defending champs for a reason. And, you know, I think that while the Lakers have been a new-look team the second half of the season, the Warriors are a team that, you know, struggled to remain near 500 for most of the year and have figured it out at the best possible time. I think that the fight that the Kings gave them in round one will wake them up, will energize them. And I think that, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell and the rest of this Lakers squad can take at least two games, you know, maybe even three. But I think that if I have to take a team in this series, I think I'm going to go with the defending champion Golden State Warriors.
All right, and that takes care of the preview of the second round of the NBA playoffs. And again, thank you so much, Nick, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. So, Nick, what's going on over at No Ceilings and also Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic?
Absolutely. So over at No Ceilings NBA, we are rapidly approaching the NBA draft. You know, we're now a month and a half away from the NBA draft, so things are really gearing up over on our end. We're getting ready to release our 2023 draft guide, which is, you know, going to be a comprehensive look at, you know, all of the top players in this 2023 draft class written by the whole No Ceilings staff. So definitely go check that out, please, if, you know, you want to support No Ceilings NBA and what we're doing over there in regards to the NBA draft. And then I will have the usual No Ceilings NBA deep dive podcast. And then I am writing this week for NoCeilingsNBA.com as well. So I'll have an article out, which will probably be another edition of my editor's notes series, you know, going around some college prospects and, you know, draft prospects who maybe we haven't written about as much over on the written side over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. And then, you know, hashtag basketball at hashtag basketball on social and hashtag basketball.com. And Nets Republic, you know, the Nets season just ended, but there's still, you know, great sports coverage all year round at Nets Republic, not just the Brooklyn Nets, but in New York Liberty season starting soon. And, of course, great Gotham FC coverage over at Nets Republic. So Nets Republic on socials and NetsRepublic.com there.
Awesome. One more time, Nick, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as hashtag basketball, also No Ceilings, Nets Republic, any websites, let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. So you can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson, and then hashtag basketball, hashtag basketball.com, and at hashtag basketball on social, and then Nets Republic, NetsRepublic.com, and Nets Republic on social.
Awesome. You heard it from him. He's Nick Agar-Johnson. He is host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and he's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, this was fun as always. Thanks again, my man. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Ed, thanks so much for having me back on the show. Fun as always, and really enjoy the end of talk basketball with you.
Sure thing. Thanks again, my man. We'll be back with more right after this.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies.
Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agard-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Thanks again to Nick for coming on the program as we preview the 2023 NBA playoff second-round matchups. And until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.